Welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Laron Landis, and the late Patty Fink is running a little late. Our guest today is Candy Markham, and we have several things that we have planned to talk about today on this hour of Lambda Weekly. But first, I need to remind everybody it is still Pledge Drive. I want to thank Leo for his very generous pledge.
Thank you, Leo.
And thank you, Leo.
Thank you, Leo.
And it was good seeing you last night, Leo.
At the 40th anniversary party.
For the Voice.
Dallas Voice.
Yep.
There was good turnout. I was surprised.
But really?
Yeah.
You thought there'd be less?
Yeah.
Interesting.
The Voice has meant a lot to a lot of people. I remember when there was not a Voice, a Dallas Voice. That's how old I am. But yeah, it's meant a lot. I used to write a column in it.
Yeah, you did.
Dear Candy.
It was interesting how many people were there who over the years have written something that has been in The Voice.
Because he asked if you've ever been featured or written in The Voice. Raise your hand. And just about everybody, including mine, everybody's hand went up.
Has been in the paper.
Yeah, at some point or another, yeah.
It's, I'm too close to it, so I don't see what people think of the paper. I hear the complaints.
Oh, really?
You know, that is an interesting perspective.
When you put yourself out there, you're a target. You know, when I wrote that column, I remember being at a nice little cocktail party, and some guy came up to me and said, I'm a psychotherapist too, and I don't agree with your column.
Really?
And I said, well, you know, and I was really nice. I said, well, you know, everyone has different points of view. But what I wanted to say is, well, when you get your column, then we'll see. But, of course, I didn't say that. I was very nice.
Right, and the reason there are a variety
of... That's my personality, isn't it?
The reason there are a variety of radio stations, people have different tastes in music and in talk.
Absolutely.
And the reason there's a variety of newspapers is people have different points of view, and that's what it's all about. But it is Pledge Drive here at KNON.
And yet this radio station is a community radio station, and the diversity of its programming is second to none.
Right. It's all over the place, really.
That's a nice way
diversity.
To say diversity.
You know, our lead-in for years was gospel.
Yes.
And so for an LGBT radio show to have gospel as its lead-in, why? Because we have a sense of humor. But more than that, it's because we all get along here at the station and we all respect each other.
And then that program was followed by the polka dance program.
Right.
I love that one, too.
Right.
So, it's like pulling into Bucky's. There's a little bit of everything.
Right. I missed a polka show.
If you'd like to make a donation to KNON to help keep LGBT radio on the air... Jeremy is standing by. The number is 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. Or go online to KNON.org. If you go online to KNON.org, hit the Pledge Now button, and the pledge premiums will come up so you can see exactly what we're talking about. This will be the last Pledge Drive where the 40th anniversary T-shirts will be available. But we have a real nice one. It's black. With red print on it, 40th KNON anniversary on the air, The Voice of the People.
And if you are one of those people who does everything by phone, where you pay your bills through an app and everything, we got you covered on there too. You can use Cash App. Go to Cash App and just put in $KNON radio. That's all capitalized, and you can make a pledge that way as well. Again, $KNON radio. Don't forget.
I was putting away my stuff from last show.
That's okay.
That I was filling in for.
But in the meantime, again, give us a call. Jeremy's standing by. I'm standing by. If you tie him up on the phone, I'll gladly answer as well. 972-647-1893.
And Candy and I came up with several topics to talk about today. One of your topics that you suggested, Candy, was, is there a right way to be gay? And you put right way in quotes. Yes, there is a right way to be gay. And like the way Patty, who just walked in, did it, it's the wrong way.
In a long sleeve shirt. No, that's not fair.
Broadway.
Wrong way.
Oh, wrong way.
Wrong way.
I have on my hearing aids.
Don't start. Erin says all the time I have to get my hearing checked.
When you said, is there a right way to be gay? What do you mean by a right way?
Well, let me give you a little story. Back in the day, whenever a movie theater put on a gay-themed movie, and it was rare, you would go to that movie theater, it would be full. It would be full. And I never had seen any of those people before. And I thought to myself, where do they live? Where are they coming from? They're gay. Mm-hmm. But I haven't seen them. So that says to me that the way I was living my little gay life was probably different than the way they were living their little gay life, only it all came together when we went to a gay movie, a gay-themed movie. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of ways to live your life. There's no way that is identified as that's the gay way. There's lots of ways to live your life.
Right. We all have different interests. Some gay people are interested in sports. Some are interested in arts. Some are interested in a combination of things.
Which is why I despise the term. I don't hear this much anymore, but the gay lifestyle.
Ugh. Yes.
Yeah, what in the world is that?
I can't stand that.
What in the world is
I've
that?
I've had to correct even a few close, well-meaning friends. No. We don't have a lifestyle. We have a life.
Yes. And when I teach cultural competency classes, mm-hmm. I often say, I have a life, not a lifestyle.
Right.
Living in an RV is a lifestyle.
Right.
Right.
Being gay or trans or bi or non-binary.
Or lesbian.
Yeah. It's not
a lifestyle.
A lifestyle.
Or even being straight. I turn it back on them. So you're straight. That means you live your life identical to everybody that's straight. And they're like, oh, okay.
Well, and then I also throw this back at them, too. I'm like, well, if there's a gay lifestyle, then there must be a straight one. And I could so easily, not that I do, but I could so easily say, well, that means you do one-night stands and go to titty bars night after night and do the most right. awful thing I can think of.
Right.
Or you're all Protestant.
Right.
Right. You know, or you all have children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're all dirt poor and barely scraping by.
Right, yeah. Patty, those things that describe you that you're listing are not how Lauren or Candy or I live our lives.
You know, but I mean, we can attach that to the straight lifestyle. So some boxed in tiny sliver of what you think everybody else is and is a sweeping big broad paintbrush, you know.
But I think the difference in perception is, even as a gay person, am I doing this right? Am I gay enough?
You can never be gay enough.
That's what I think. You can never have enough glitter. I'm so with you, David. But anyway, I think we do because we all have ideas and images of what being gay looks like. I don't think we have that as a straight person. But I think
so.
It's not only straight people who kind of pigeonhole us in how we should look and how we should act. But I think we do the same.
You know, it's fully illustrated when you say, you know, I'm at the risk of losing my gay card.
Or you're going to lose your gay card.
You know, because right. I don't love show tunes or right. I don't, you right. know.
Don't love football.
You know, those
they
things.
They might lose their lesbian card. Also.
They might lose their lesbian card. But that's how we I think we express it, is with the gay card.
Right, right.
You know, like you're disqualified now because you're not doing it right.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think it's all done in jest.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I think the ones that can jest about it are the ones who get it. You know, but I think there's plenty who don't. You know, I don't know that I'm doing this right, doing the gay thing right.
I think the most important thing that a gay person or a trans person or a bi person can do in terms of being faithful to being gay and doing it right is to vote.
Oh, I love that.
You know, I think we have struggled as a community, and if we don't stick together as a community and participate in the preservation and achievement of our own rights, then you're not doing it right. I mean, if I do all the work and Candy does nothing, but Candy benefits from the hard work and sacrifice and threats and danger I've placed myself in for you, you know, do you just, you know, like soak that up and run with it? I mean, there are a lot of people who do that don't
vote. I was going to say, we could have a whole show on that, Patty, because that is the case for a lot.
Well, yeah. And one lot. Thing that you're saying is for people to participate. It doesn't mean that we have to do it the same way. We don't have to vote the same way. We don't have to have same beliefs. We don't have to have the same anything. But when it comes to voting and participating that way...
In support of each other. Voting in support of each other. That's what I mean.
In our own right to be safe. And that is the bottom line. And these days, all of that is being threatened. All of it now. But I would also say the truth of the matter is, for all the work that I've done in the gay movement, it's okay with me that you benefit from it. It's okay.
It's okay with me, too.
Because I'm doing it for more than just me. And some people, they don't volunteer. That's not what they do. But I'm with you. They should vote. Everybody should vote. Because there are so many people in so many other countries that cannot do that. And we just take it for granted.
Right. And again, we're not telling you how to vote. We're telling you to vote, to participate. Let your voice be heard.
Mm-hmm.
So. It is Pledge Drive here at KNON. 972-647-1893 is the number. Jeremy's on the phone, but he'll be off in just a minute. And to make a pledge is a vote to keep this show on the air.
It is indeed.
Absolutely.
Well done, David.
Thank you.
I think that's important because we just talked about the polka hour not being here anymore. Mm-hmm. We want to be here. Mm-hmm. We want to still be here. So help us stay here.
Yeah, I was listening to that as I was fighting traffic over here. Uh-huh. And it's interesting because we've been preceded and proceeded by many different shows over the years. It used to be a Thai show would bring us in. Mm-hmm. And then Bows and Arrows mm-hmm. came after us, mm-hmm. a Native American show, which is another unique feature of KNON.
Yeah.
And now we have the Jewish Music Hour followed by the Ethiopian show
mm-hmm.
in Amharic.
I love that. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So the diversity and inclusion and belonging that we find here at KNON is just enormous. It's the exemplar, I think, for
it's unique
for diversity.
You know, last night, like we mentioned at the top of the show, we went to the celebration of the Dallas Voices 40th anniversary. Well, we precede that by 1 year, and that's a testament to KNON listeners and the local LGBT community. Help us stay on for another 41 years.
Sure. When the station originally approached a group from Dallas Gay Alliance to do a show, the answer immediately was, sure, But then privately, the discussion was, okay, what is that?
Well, it's kind of like How to Be Gay. What is a gay show?
Right.
You know, it could be anything. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it happens to be this.
Yeah.
Evolved to this. Originally, it was mostly music.
Mm-hmm. Was it really?
From gay artists. So.
Was it boots and pants? Or was it techno or?
It has gone through different stages. I don't know if you remember, Patty, but when we first joined the show, it was a two-hour show.
Yes, I remember that.
And we had a half hour of it, which was just pre-recorded news.
This right. Way Out.
That's right. That's This Way Out.
Yep.
And right then we out. Played a little music, and then we would talk and banter back and forth. So
right, because the internet was, well, when the show went on the air, there wasn't an internet.
Right.
But when you started...
There was barely a Selectric typewriter.
Right. Those were wonderful. I love mine.
I agree. I love mine, too.
But if you'd like to support this show, 972-647-1893. Jeremy, you just got a pledge.
Yeah, we'd like to send a shout-out and thank you to our real good friend and listener, Linda and David. Thank you for your pledges today. We appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Linda and David.
Thank you, Linda and David.
972-647-1893. We have some tickets to give away.
We do. We have a tongue twister to start with. The Totally Tubular Festival with Thomas Dolby, Thompson Twins, Tom Bailey, Modern English, Men Without Hats, The Romantics, Bow Wow Wow, yippee-yo, yippee, and the Plimsolls. That's Tuesday, July the 9th. Showtime at 6 p.m. at the Pavilion at Toyota Music Factory. That's out in Las Colinas at 300 West Las Colinas Boulevard. And your pledge will get you a pair of tickets. The $75 pledge gets a pair of tickets. And that's that. We also have Squeeze and Boy George tour. Mm. Haven't seen Boy George in a while. Squeeze and Boy George are coming to town on Wednesday, August the 28th at 7:30 p.m. Same location, the Pavilion at Toyota Music Factory on Las Colinas Boulevard in Irving. Your $70 pledge will get you a pair of tickets. The tickets will be emailed closer to the show date to your email address. That's Squeeze. We have also another show, comedian Michelle Wolf. It's Great to Be Here. Thursday, May 16th at the House of Blues at 2200 North Lamar in Dallas. Showtime, 8 p.m. Your $75 pledge will get you a pair of tickets. Or $115 pledge will get you a pair of tickets and a KNON t-shirt. Seats to be discussed and tickets will be emailed to you. Not done yet. We have another Abducted by the 80s with Wang Chung, The Motels, and Naked Eyes. Sunday, May 19th at House of Blues, 2200 North Lamar in Dallas. Showtime, 7 p.m. Your $80 pledge will get you a pair of general admission tickets. You have one pair of tickets per pledge. Tickets will be emailed to you as well. Give us a call, 972-647-1893, or visit us at knon.org.
Now, if you'd like any of those tickets, you do have to call in because we have just one pair or two pair of each of those. For today's show, so you need to call in and give us a credit card that your pledge will be put on. 972-647-1893 is the number to call to make any pledge.
Talk to me.
And to talk to Jeremy. But if you would like the tickets, call in. 972-647-1893. Why don't we take our break? You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM, and we'll be back with more Lambda Weekly right after this.
Hi, this is Patty Fink, and you're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM.
And this is Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Laurent Landis and the ever late Patty Fink. Our guest is Candy Markham. We were talking in the first segment about, is there a right way to be gay? But let's talk a little bit about coming out. How does coming out look today versus yesterday? And what will coming out look like in the future? What does coming out look like today?
I think coming out looks like today. I don't think the statistics have changed as far as a person accepting that they are LGBTQ. I think for males, it's around 15, probably younger, 14. For girls, it's around 17, maybe 16. I don't think the time has changed that much. I think what has changed is that there's words for it now. There's language for it that was not there when I was coming out.
Give an example.
Well, gender fluid.
Hmm.
You know?
Non-binary. Gender non-conforming.
What was it?
Gender non-conforming.
Cisgender. There's just a whole new nomenclature. And on top of that, it's more visible. There is probably no one who would say, you know, I don't have a gay friend. I don't know anyone who's gay. I don't think people say that anymore. But they used to say it a lot. And they probably didn't use the word gay.
We had a congressman, Pete Sessions, who famously said he didn't have a gay person in his district. And his district dips into Oaklawn.
Maybe he didn't knew that.
His old district.
He's doing one of those close your eyes and close your ears, la 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 la. There are no gay people in my district. Well, there's not a district in this country that doesn't have LGBTQ.
There's not
LGBTQ
a zip code in this country that doesn't have a person who self-identifies as LGBTQ.
You know, I think coming out, not only has it become younger, I have a teenager, and Lord, the stories that I hear. And I have a husband who teaches teenagers, and it's just like, yeah, Lorana, I always have at least one or two gay kids every year. You just didn't hear that in junior high when we were growing up. But I think it also looks different from the parents' point of view.
Yes.
I'm not saying it's not still a shock to some parents, but these days it has at least crossed probably every straight parent's mind. My child might be LGBT. They may not like it, but it has at least crossed their minds because we're so visible now.
Yes.
And when we were growing up, sometimes it would completely floor your parents. Now it's like, come on, really? You've never interacted with a single LGBT person ever, like you all were saying. So I think it has helped that process. Because, you know, when you come out, it means your parents, friends, your siblings, they have to come out too.
One in four families has an LGBTQ family member. Yeah, what you were saying, Laron, reminded me of what is going on currently in Sherman, Texas, where they were putting on the musical Oklahoma. And the, I think it was, not the superintendent, I think it was the, who's the person over a high school, a principal.
Principal.
Decided that a transgender person would not be able to play that role, and that person is now fired in Sherman, Texas.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where the parents pushed back.
Yeah, they rallied back.
That's an amazing story.
Right. Mm-hmm.
An amazing story. I don't know Sherman that well, but I don't see it as the hotbed of progressiveness.
I know a few people from Sherman, and I think they would agree with you.
But it was. You know, it just normalized. People are people.
Well, that was a father, especially, who stood up for his kid.
Yes, it was the dad, yeah.
And a teacher who had given the role to this transgender student because the teacher thought the student could do the role.
And was the best.
Best one.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that came out was they didn't want to do Oklahoma in the school because the full version that they were doing, the Broadway version as opposed to the high school edited version, was too racy.
Oklahoma?
Oklahoma.
Wow.
Was too racist?
Racy.
I don't know what that means.
Too sexy. Too much.
Too scandalous.
Too scandalous, yeah. Oklahoma.
Racy, yeah.
Oklahoma.
Yeah. Too frisky.
So if you're wondering,
words for it.
So if you're wondering about Sherman,
there
you go.
There it is.
Finally, when the show did go on, they did the full version. And they did it with Max, the student, the transgender student.
Uh-huh.
Max, the transgender.
And I hear they did a great job.
I'm sure they did.
Of course they did.
Yeah.
Of course they did.
But, you know, God loved that father.
Yeah.
And and all the other parents, and probably teachers that pushed back, and the one who lost was the principal.
Right.
Well, you know, today, the latest Gallup polls from 2023 have our community self-identified two Gallup pollsters at 7.6% of the population.
Yeah,
that, and that's quite a thing, and it's profoundly.
There's more than that, you know.
Oh yeah, rounded up to ten.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So if you look, or if you 12. Did a graph from the oldest, meaning 75 plus, and then 60 plus, and then you know middle age, and then Gen X, Gen Y, Gen Z, it's a tiny amounts. 1.6% of people over 75 self-identify. Versus, I want to wait for this, of Gen Z, the youngest coming up, 18 to 24, 20.8% self-identify.
Yeah.
That's one in five.
Wow.
Only 75% of the population self-identifies as heterosexual.
Wow.
In that age range, in that demographic.
And you don't
and
have...
then if you go to Gen Y, it's one in 10.
So that speaks to the future, what David's question was. What will the future look like?
Yeah.
Before we get to that, if you call in to make a pledge, you don't have to self-identify as gay or straight. You just have to identify what your credit card number is to pay the pledge. 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. Or go online to KNON.org
and
hit the Pledge Now button, and that way you don't have to reveal your credit card number to anyone. It just goes through the computer.
And don't forget, you can do Cash App, $KNON Radio, all caps, no spaces, $KNON Radio, Cash App. You can make a pledge there.
And again, 972-647-1893. Okay, so Patty, you were saying
that that Gen Z is at 20.8% of the population.
That's 21%.
That's 21% self-identifies as LGBTQ. Can you imagine what the numbers will be in 5 years and 10 years as those generations populate then the middle age and, and what, going forward?
And what that's saying is that non-binary, it's not as clear as heterosexual, homosexual. It's not clear. It's fluid.
Well, if you break it down, the vast majority of all the groups are bisexual people. Like over 50%.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
In fact, 57% of the people who identify as LGBTQ identify as
bisexual.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it also tells me that the older you are, the less likely you're going to come out to a pollster.
Yes.
Well, it's just like, you know, people coming out to the government on the census. Remember, we had discussion after discussion, and we still don't have it. The question on the census that says, how do you self-identify?
So it still takes courage to come out.
Mm-hmm.
People still discriminate against people who are not like them.
Absolutely.
And we have people in government who desperately want to stay in government and not get a real job, and so must be reelected, and so must show how conservative they are by passing laws or changing laws that discriminate against someone who is not 100% what they consider acceptable, I guess.
Well, and we just learned the last few days that former President Trump has declared that on day one, he will nix all LGBTQ student protections, meaning Title IX and all of those protections, even supported by the Supreme Court. He would nix those. Yep. He would undo them.
And so Patty's point, this goes back to when we were talking about the right way to be gay.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, vote for who you want to vote for. But when you hear stuff like that, you do wonder, okay, if you know stuff like that, why would you still support that?
Why would you support your own demise?
Yes. Yeah.
Second-class Americanism.
Right. People that I've asked
who are planning on voting for Trump have said that they believe it's just him talking. It's just him.
They said that last time. And he followed through with his stuff. Yeah, he ripped out the section in the Affordable Care Act or said you don't have to enforce this.
Yeah.
That's the non-discrimination
protections. People need to listen to what he says because he's going to do what he says.
And God, let's talk about the abortion thing. He said he wanted to get rid of it, and he appointed three people who did.
Who lied to Congress,
yeah. So why wouldn't they believe him?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing was with him in 2016 was you should take him literally, not seriously. And then the other side would say, no, you need to take him seriously, not literally. And today it's literally and seriously.
I was gonna say, take everything he says.
Yeah. Because he wants to make camps, create camps to put people in Texas and then deport them en masse, like train loads.
Oh, no,
people.
Yeah. He said he wanted to do the biggest mass deportation ever.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you believe
that? That's just chilling. It is just chilling.
It's an awful way to think about it. This is what's happened too. This past week in Virginia, there was a school board that a number of years ago took down the names of two different schools, Confederate heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And now they've reinstated them because the MAGA candidates on the school board said, it's too woke, so we have to put them back on there.
Three out of the five school board members voted to reinstate Confederate names.
Stonewall Jackson and Lee and somebody else are the two names.
Was it Lee
also? Yeah. What does that tell kids of color?
Or any kid.
You know, that's what I don't understand about all of that. And the whole woke, anti-woke thing. It's like, you automatically signed with the slave owners, not the abolitionists. So you identify with the slave owner perspective that you believe your kid will too. And you don't want to dispel that for your kid. Otherwise, you would be like, I am against racism, I am against slavery, and I want to do everything to purge the very thought that anyone is a less than a human out of our society. Let's teach this history so we never repeat it.
Absolutely.
And they don't think like that.
Mm-mm.
So you know they're over there.
Mm-mm.
So to reinstate two Confederate, they're traitors, they lost, and it's a myth.
So we can reinstate and literally put individuals on pedestals and celebrate what they did, but you also, your kids are, we can't teach to your kids what they really did because it'll hurt their feelings. It'll make them feel bad in class.
Uncomfortable. So we can't be truthful with kids because it would make them uncomfortable.
Okay, yeah.
I think that's a bizarre way to parent.
Where's the logic?
And you're going to force the school system to do that kind of parenting to your kid.
So that's another reason to vote for the right kind of representation you want on your school board.
Right.
The right kind of representation so that your children can learn the real history of what happened in this nation.
And it's not pretty. When you have family, you look in your own family, you don't even have to look at LaRon's family or David's family to see, that every family has some bad moments.
Yep.
Things you're not proud of, people you're not, who did things that you're not proud of.
Yeah.
And our country's the same way. Mm-hmm. We are this experiment in, making the more perfect union. We're constantly striving for that. And if we don't, ideally, that's what we're striving for, right? And so we're going to make some mistakes. And we've made some horrid mistakes as a country.
But you learn from your mistake and you move forward.
Exactly.
But now it seems like we are regressing big time.
Oh.
Well, that's why it's interesting that yesterday is the anniversary of that Tulsa massacre of the black neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Black Wall Street.
Black town.
Took place in 1921, 300 people murdered.
And when did I hear about that? And I, you know, and I'm kind of a smart person. I didn't hear about it till probably 2 or 3 years ago.
I was born in Tulsa. I grew up here, but I was born in Tulsa and never heard anything about
right.
it.
Right. Wow. They buried that story.
But here's the thing. I hear about it in my 20s because the movie came out of the same thing happening in a Florida city. I think it's called Rosewood. Mm-hmm. And what I've learned is that was not an isolated event. There were all kinds of black, profitable, self-sustaining towns in America that had been bombed or burned down by white people. So that was not an isolated incident, but they have pretty much removed
it from history. It was one of the largest, though.
It was one of the largest.
But don't you think, Laurent, today, if this happened in the early 1900s, you can trace who is sitting on that property today and who owned it before.
Right.
And how did that happen?
Yeah.
You know, like you could say my entire family owned this mm-hmm. entire block and we had businesses that were thriving and we have deeds, we have family history to all of this, and now some white family owns, or maybe four different white families own what's on that block.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, like how do you even walk down the street and see them and not think you stole my family's history, my mm-hmm. family's wealth, my family's everything, and you're benefiting from it today? Like I would think that this is a place where you could say, I'm going to sue them to get this back for my family.
Yeah.
Because it's real property.
It's
if
real
you want to talk about real anything, real property is a thing.
Absolutely is a thing.
And the history of the American Indian.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
The very same thing.
The very same thing.
Mm-hmm. And if we don't remember these instances, we're going to repeat them.
Yes.
And that's why it's so important to hang out the dirty laundry and learn from it.
But I mean, Trump's already calling people vermin. We know Hitler. Human beings. That's Hitler. A Hitler term.
You know what is a good thing to repeat?
What, David?
People who've made a pledge before to KNON and to Lambda Weekly and haven't called in a couple of pledge drives, it would be a great thing for you to call us and give us a pledge to help keep Lambda Weekly on the air.
We just heard from Cynthia. We greatly appreciate your pledge, Cynthia. Thanks for listening and supporting us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Cynthia.
And we need to thank our very own Candy, who just made a pledge. Thank you so much, Candy.
Thank you, Candy.
As always.
You're welcome. I'm a big fan.
And you got a pledge from...
Earlier, we got actually a pledge from David Moskowitz and Linda mm-hmm. Evans Abramson. And
you just took one from Cynthia?
From Cynthia, who we just yes, as well.
And thank you for everybody who did make a pledge. 972-647-1893. Jeremy is standing by waiting for your call. Or go online to knon.org and hit the pledge now button.
There are lots of things to choose from, too.
And we'll be happy to validate your credit card for you.
Lots of things to choose from. Again, if you like you're using your apps, don't forget about Cash App. It's $KNON radio. That's all caps, no spaces.
And if you'd like to become a sustaining member?
If you'd like to become a sustaining member, this is a great way to get us set up, and you don't have to even think about it, but you're helping out the station for the entire year. Is by monthly donation, get set up on your debit or credit card or your savings or checking account. And you pick the amount, and then you pick the amount and you pick when it hits your account, either on the 1st or the 15th, whatever works for you. It's easy, it's automatic, and you do have to have a minimum draft of $5. But again, hey, if you only do that $5 over a year, that helps a lot.
It does.
You know, so again, give us a call at 972-647-1893. We will gladly get you set up on a sustaining donation.
Hi, this is Candy Markham, and I listen to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. Listen.
And that's proof that Candy has been a guest of ours regularly for years and years and years because this CD is about 15 years old.
I still have that West Texas accent, I noticed.
972-647-1893 is the number to call to make a pledge. So we were talking about coming out, what it looks like today. What about yesterday? Was it more difficult, you think, for most people, especially across the South, to come out?
You know, I remember Howie Dare started a gay counseling center in 1982, I think. 81, fall of 81. And I was the first counselor that he hired. And I had two women come in and talk to me. And they were a couple. And they had children. The children live with them. And the children did not know that they were a couple.
Wow. They knew.
They slept in different rooms. I guess maybe snuck down the hall when the kids were in bed. But they hid it from their own children. That is so sad to me. That was sad to me at the time in 1981. I thought, what we do to ourselves, not what people do to us to make us feel bad, but we already feel bad, so we don't want our kids to know. I just thought that was the saddest.
Yeah, it is. But those are the sign of the times. That is 1981.
Things have changed.
Yeah, things
have
changed. Yeah.
But you know, it really hasn't. I mean, I know some people in my orbit who were denied access to their grandkids because they're gay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, and you just think about when those grandkids grow up and find out the truth and their mm-hmm. parents lied to them. I mean, you have to wonder what kind of respect you're going to have for your parents once they seek to deceive you your entire life.
If they don't adopt the same philosophy or same beliefs.
Well, to use Piaget's child development model, he said that between the ages of 0 and 12, a child takes in every single thing their parent says as truth. I'm a good child, I'm a bad child, I'm the smart child, I'm the problem child. Then when you hit 12, you start to kind of think for yourself. Well, that's what mother thinks, and that's what daddy thinks, but what do I think? All right, so there's hope, that's why I'm saying that to you, that they can kind of come to their own decision that maybe I think differently than mother and daddy do. Now, I really like that, but when I think about the story y'all just said about Florida and the school board in Virginia, it's surprising how many people there are out there who believe that LGBTQ people should not be able to exist or are not on the same plane as people who are not. I think what Trump has done is shown how many people like that are still out there.
Mm-hmm. He's given a permission system, a system of permission
for them to show
to
up.
Be the ugliest, most racist, homophobic, transphobic, xenophobic that you have inside you. Like, dredge it, pull it up in all of its ugliness to the surface, and be proud of it. And, you know, and cheer it on.
And the scary part is there's no repercussions for it.
Yeah, there are no consequences.
No consequences.
And in fact,
none.
I think when those people talk about, those people who think that way, talk about it, they don't, when they say free speech, they want to be able to say what they want with no consequences.
No repercussions, yeah.
And I would say 80% of them do not even understand the First Amendment.
Yes,
you know, I mean, I talked to like a higher up in my business career who believed that Twitter was violating the free speech rights of its members or its subscribers. And I'm like, you do understand that the First Amendment basically says the only entity that can violate your First Amendment rights, including free speech, is the government. Right. I mean, it's basic civics.
Basic.
It's basic understanding. Were you too low IQ to get that when you went through school? Or did they not offer it where you went to school? Or have you forgotten it since because your memory's that bad? But, you know, grown people are saying, that's a violation of my free speech. No, it's not.
They're hearing it. They're hearing it from other people.
And they're just regurgitating what they're hearing. Because when you pin people down, about what do you mean. They don't know what the hell they're talking about. And they can't give examples of anything.
We filter comments at Dallas Voice because we get some really horrible ones. And, of course, we're accused of violating their free speech rights.
I think that's hilarious.
Our website. We can print what we want to print. Right. That's the free speech part of it, and the government can't do anything to us for printing things unless we were printing threats.
Get your own paper. Start your own paper.
Only the government. The government's the only entity that can violate your free speech rights. Period. That means all the things in 1A, you know, as we see shorthanded. The First Amendment includes, gathering, assembly, the right to assemble, the right of religion, that the government shall have no religion of its own, even though there are people out there who want it to be, it needs to be a Christian government.
Right.
No government religion, and the freedom for people to practice their own religion. And that means all religions.
Well, that's what America was founded on.
They're fine with freedom of religion as long as it's freedom of their religion.
Right. They want theirs.
Yeah.
And it's freedom of speech. It's freedom of the press, of media. So when he stands up there and says, the press is our enemy, it's anti-American to me.
What people have forgotten is that First Amendment rights come with First Amendment responsibilities.
And consequences.
And when it comes to the Second Amendment, boy, have we forgotten any kind of Second Amendment responsibilities. It's just
and consequences.
Right. Okay, so we're talking about coming out, how it looks today, how it looks yesterday, how it'll look in the future. I have a good story about how it should look in the future. Some friends of mine are rabbis. They're married. Man and woman have several kids. And one of them, this is a number of years ago, his six-year-old, his best friend had two dads. So one of the rabbis is kind of listening to the kids playing, and so his son asks the other one, "How come you have two dads?" And he's thinking, "Oh my God, no, we're going to have this discussion." And he just looked at him and said, "I don't know, why do you have two rabbis?" And, he responded, "I don't know," and they went on and played.
Yeah, that's great.
That's awesome.
It's a nothing.
To most little kids, that really is how the process goes. I've witnessed it myself.
Yeah.
It's not this deep conversation about sex that people want to make it out to be. It's just like, okay, it is what it is, and they move on. Mm-hmm.
Well, when they talk about, when straight people who are bigoted against us talk to their own kids about families, like maybe their own family, that there's mommy and daddy and the kids, are they talking about sex?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. No, they're not.
Exactly.
No, they're not. They're not having a sexual discussion with their four-year-old.
Right.
They're talking about there's mommy and daddy and the kids.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And if you're not Christine Ohm, it's a dog.
Like growing up, I had three sets of grandparents, because my mother was adopted by her grandparents. Mm. They were really my great-grandparents, but they were raised as my grandparents. Then we got reconnected with her biological parents, my biological grandparents.
Uh-huh.
Then I have my dad's parents. So we had three sets of grandparents.
And that's okay.
It was okay. We were never confused about it. We knew the structure of it. It is. We have three grandmas and three grandfathers.
Some people do.
Some people don't. Yeah. There was nothing confusing about it. And we knew it was different, but there was nothing confusing about it.
Right.
I have four mothers-in-law, and I find it confusing. I have Brian's mother, Brian's father's wife, his stepmother. There's Jeremy's mother and Jeremy's mother's wife.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Four mothers-in-law. It gets confusing.
And I hope they all like you.
Jeremy's parents.
Jury's still out, looks like.
Jeremy's pleading to smiling.
We're waiting for him to come down and visit us.
So, coming out in the future, what do you see as what people will need to do or will just do?
I think that parents will be more sophisticated about it. I think they will know more. I think they will help their children more. I think they'll be able to identify it. I mean, if you're watching, you can kind of tell by the time they're like one or two. So you stand by and you watch, and you be there. Because the child is trying to figure it out, the parent knows.
Even if they don't know, I hope, and I've seen several posts about this, and I hope we get to the point where if your child just comes home with a person, if your daughter comes home and says, "This is my, I want you to meet Tammy, my girlfriend." Okay. There was no coming out story. She's never told you she liked girls, mm-hmm. but she just like you would if she brought on a boy and said, "Oh, this is David. Okay. It's my boyfriend."
Yeah,
that would be the ideal.
Mm-hmm. That it's just is.
It just is. There was no need to tell me which.
There is no coming out.
There is no coming out
in the traditional sense.
Now that's a really good way to put it, David. The future of coming out is that there is no coming out.
There is no coming out.
Now I wonder.
That's profound, David.
It is.
Yeah.
Like when you put all these organizations out of business because you don't need them
yes,
anymore.
Yes, let them do right. something else.
Right.
You know, save the whales or whatever.
There will always be that parent, though, that may be completely accepting and there is no coming out, but they'll still ask, "So what do your parents do for a living?"
Or what are you going to do for a living?
Right.
That's what I would ask. That's exactly what I would ask.
Which always reminds me of the story with Melissa Etheridge when she was seeing Julie Cypher, who was from Oklahoma, and they went home to visit Julie Cypher's parents for the first time, and she introduced, "This is my girlfriend," you know, and her parents were just appalled and worried. And they said, well, it wasn't because she was a lesbian, it's because she's a rock musician.
Yeah, that's right.
What kind of future do you think you're going to have?
Exactly. That's what parents should worry about.
Right.
Can you take care of my kiddo, and can my kiddo take care of themselves? And how's it all going?
I just thought of a similar story, but it's not a good one.
Okay.
I probably shouldn't tell. Or should I?
I don't know.
How much time do we have?
So do you remember we used to go to the gay proms?
Sure. Yes.
Yeah.
And they had one in downtown. I forgot the old hotel. It was really nice.
It's Statler. Now the Statler.
Yes. So I remember there, had my microphone, my little tape recorder out, interviewing different people. And I remember meeting this young white girl. I think she's maybe 18 or 19. And she said, and I was asking her, like, what was it like when you came out? And she said, "Oh, my mother was fine. She just had one question. She said, 'Is your girlfriend black?' And she said, 'No.' She goes, 'Okay, that's all I care about.'"
Whoa!
Long as she's not.
Oh, wow.
I'll never forget that. I'm like, okay.
Wow.
Yeah. Everybody has their little line in the sand, I guess.
And she wasn't shy to tell you that story.
Oh God. You know how many racist stories I've been told by white people?
God. Oh, that's just horrid.
Yeah, I'll never forget that. Like, okay.
Wow. You know, but you know, if you're straight and you've never really thought about LGBTQ people, or maybe you don't know someone, which is going to be rare. You're going to work with somebody, you're going to encounter them in your neighborhood, you know, maybe at church too, and you know, it doesn't have to be your kids or your kids' friends or their teachers and all of that. But you need, at some point, if you're getting together with another straight person and you're going to have a relationship where you might have kids, don't you think it's important to have that conversation? Like, what if our kid's gay?
Yes.
How do we feel about that? I would want to know the person I'm going to spend the rest of my life with feels about that topic.
Right.
And then,
well, did Danny and you have the conversation, what if our daughter is straight?
Actually, we
did. Y'all really?
Yes.
Y'all are so good.
We did, actually.
They're checking all the boxes. But you know, I remember in doing these cultural competency classes, like at Dallas Police Academy, Dallas Fire Rescue Academy. And I have that on the brain because I did one this week at DFR. But we used to do, when we had a lot of time, we used to do this questionnaire. And one of the things on it was an open-ended question, and we would do it all anonymously, and they pass, you know, exchange, pass them in, and we'd pass them back out to different people, and they'd respond according to the paper in front of them. Mm-hmm. And one of the last question was, if you knew that your child would be gay, if I knew that my child would be gay, I would.
And
it was like, bury it in the backyard.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, I would want to know that if I was in a relation with you.
Yes. Yeah.
That's how you feel.
I have a couple of straight female friends who have done that with their husbands. Their now husbands.
Mm-hmm.
They asked them straight up, hey, if we happen to have a gay or lesbian kid, and they were waiting on the answer, and their husbands, their now husbands, said, no, it'd be fine with it. And they both said if they had gotten the wrong answer, they would have not have proceeded.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like, oh, that makes me feel so good to hear that.
That is a great conversation to have.
Yeah.
That's right up there with what religion are we going to raise our children in?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And there are a lot of kind of pivotal questions, you know.
Yeah. But that should be one of them. You're right.
What are our priorities if one of us loses a job for a period of time?
Right.
What, you know, like those sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
And you ask the questions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because you want the answers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and I can't imagine someone, you know, two people in a relationship saying, well, what if our kid is a queer? You know, and having that really negative thing.
There,
like, I would want to kick them out.
Yeah.
Right.
I'd want to beat the hell out of them and then kick them out.
I'd want to stay on birth control.
Yeah.
Until I can get out of that relationship.
Well, that might become illegal soon, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. We are just about out of time. I want to thank everybody who called in and made a pledge. And
Everyone. This was wonderful. So many people called in.
Yeah, because of you, Candy. You're good luck.
Oh.
And hopefully just as many went online to KNON.org, hit the pledge now button, and contributed that way.
And they still can, even when we're off the air.
That's right.
You can still
just
make a pledge.
Select David Taffet.
Yes.
As the DJ.
Thanks for listening and for your pledges. We appreciate it.
Thanks, everyone. Thank you, Candy.
Thank you, Candy. Thanks, everyone.
Our guest next week is Todd Kemp.
Todd Kemp. Yep.
And he'll be talking about
Yesterqueer.
And for all of us here at Lambda Weekly, have a good week.